JM in the AM, Chazak Amenu. As my guest just pointed out to me off the air, quite appropriate that I'm playing it, not only because he coordinated that whole effort from 23 years ago, I'm thinking, in that area. But in addition, we still need this, the theme of Chazak Amenu, we stand as one. The theme of Chazak Amenu, we stand as one, is just as important, just as meaningful as it was 20-some years ago. Without any further ado, the one, the only, Jordan B. Gorfinkel. Good morning, my friend.
Boker Tov, Nachum Siegel, Boker Tov, New York metropolitan area, and everyone around the world who listens to and loves JM and the AM.
What brings you to the New York, New Jersey area?
Somebody texted me and said they wanted me on the radio.
Yeah, but really what brought you here?
Jewish Comic Con.
Because we should mention that you're based in the Midwest. You're based in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, but nobody knows that.
Oh, really? I shouldn't have said it?
No, it's okay.
I should make believe you're from here?
Yeah. So well, I still have the 646 number. You know, that's
well, that's the thing now.
It is the thing now. When
you get a phone number from someone, it won't reflect where they're from. It'll reflect where they were from.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I wanted to hang on to my 212 number when I lived on the Upper West Side for all those years. The problem is that I didn't realize a landlord had the right to cancel your phone number.
Interesting.
So I took two or three days to keep my 212 number.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah, 663-7631.
What I learned from you, Gorf, I'll tell you. Thank God you're here. Anyway, so what brings you to the New York area?
Jewish Comic Con. Juice.
And is it, that's how it's known?
Yeah, it's the second year. Juice is JEWCE. It's the Jewish Comics Experience. And hopefully it'll become an annual thing.
It happened already, or you're going
to? Happened already. It happened on Sunday. Right. And then on Monday, which was 2 days ago, although in Gorf time it feels like a million years ago, we had a graphic novel event at the Y. It was Veterans Day. It salutes to all the veterans out there. Thank you for your service. We appreciate you deeply. And on Veterans Day, we had a bunch of cartoonists who all gathered together at the 92nd Street Y, or Y92, as they call it, NY92, as they call it now. And we had a wonderful group of cartoonists, adults and kids, and we were doing cartooning collaboration. I don't like to call it instruction because we don't want to make cartooning pedantic. Cartooning is fun, and it's fun for all ages. It's child friendly, but not childish.
Wow, what a statement! So, why is this necessary? If there is a Comic-Con, why must there be what you're calling a Jewish Comic-Con?
We need a Jewish Comic-Con because, believe it or not, comics are very much a Jewish conception. The superheroes, for example, were created by Jewish immigrants who were reflecting their immigrant experience, and particularly bias and anti-Semitism and limitations in their opportunities. And they grew the industry from its very modest beginnings to what we see today.
Which similar to the Hollywood
billion
story.
Dollars. Yeah, similar to Jewish music.
Right. And, well, maybe music, American music. I don't know if we'd say Jewish music, but American music that at one point accepted Jewish composers and had an outreach that included many, many members of the Jewish community. Let's put it that way.
Yes, correct. And the reason why I say that there is a need for a Jewish Comic-Con is because the industry has come full circle. So it began, and I in my many scholars and residents and talks around the world, I talk about this in great detail, but simply put, the Jewish industry has grown from its roots in running away from Judaism to embracing Judaism in all its wonderful colors.
Is the comic scene, I don't even know if that's the proper way of putting it, what do we call the collection of all the comics out there, the comic books out there? What do we call that?
Well, we call them graphic novels so that we're taken more seriously.
So the comic / graphic novel scene. Am I right or wrong? Because I'm such a very casual observer. It's not my thing. Am I right or wrong that it's now all about not just superheroes, but other worlds and other dimensions? And, Richie Rich ain't sticking around these days. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's mostly this really serious adventure type stuff that's happening.
Well, if you've been to my basement, you've seen that Richie Rich very much sticks around, along with Archie and all his
pals. How many
do
you have? How many of the Richie Riches do you have?
I'll show you pictures.
Did you spend a lot of time in Jewish summer camps? Because that was a big item there.
Let me tell you something. Jewish summer camps. I brought my comic books, and I got aggravated. People would borrow them and not give them back. So one summer, this is going back, folks. You know, you got to be somebody who still lives on the Lower East Side to understand this one.
Yeah.
That's a callback to Nachum and I talking earlier about the shift in Jewish populations in New York. But at any rate, so one summer, I got very tired of people borrowing my comics and not giving them back. So I took those little sleeves that you get in libraries with cards so that people could sign out the comic books.
And register them with you?
Register them with me, and then they'd be due a week later. And then if you don't return them on time, then you have to give me some of your canteen.
I also have a great comic book story from that generation that you're referring to.
Please.
You know, my mother, who was a German Jew, right, roots in both Germany and Austria. So already you're getting an impression of the type of person she was, right? God bless her soul. So she had three things that she would never allow in our house. That was the rule. They're not allowed. It's a Yarek Val Yaver. These three things will never be allowed in the house. One was any type of water gun or anything that resembled a gun, even if it was. And I remember once we won, like, you know, for three tickets, one of these miniature little squeeze water guns. You know, that we were able to sneak into the house for a couple of days after the Purim Carnival, you know, like that type of thing. So one was anything that looked like a gun. Second thing was a deck of cards. There was never, ever a deck of cards in my house. If it did show up for whatever reason, eliminated immediately, right? And the third thing was comic books. She was somebody who believed that it was not, you know, that there was no benefit to a child having comic books in the house. So what happened?
So what happened was you interview me and you see, oh, you know what? She was right.
So I have a sibling. I have a sibling who was very, very, okay, so I have a brother who was very, very into comic books but knew about this restriction, right? So, and my mother was a very sympathetic, you know, wonderful mother. Anybody who knows her, you know, who knew her knows that. So what happened? We had a friend in elementary school that had, like you probably, you know, 312 comics, you know, hanging around in their bedroom.
Add a couple zeros, but yeah.
Exactly. So my mother allowed one night that my brother could borrow any number of comic books he wanted, an entire garbage bag full of comic books, can bring it home, can, you know, what we would call now binge read, I guess, right? Binge read them. I don't know if he slept that night. And then he'd have to return them the next day. That was the one exception made to the Esther Siegel comic book rule. What do you think of that?
I think that she was very sagacious because I would never disagree with Esther Siegel. God bless her soul.
So your parents handled it differently, huh? What can I tell you?
My parents saw it as an opportunity to get me out of the way. So it was, no, I'm kidding.
It's funny, though, because
they supported it. I
would think that there are many parents, even responsible ones, that would just be happy their kid's reading something.
Well, that's it. The first word that I knew how to spell was invulnerable, which I learned from Superman.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Who said it? Lois Lane or Perry White? Who said it?
Maybe Jimmy Olsen.
One of them.
Right.
Hey, he's a newspaper guy, you know?
Right. I think you're doing the equivalent of bageling me with superheroes. Yes.
So now, am I right? It's all this adventure. It's, you know, slash other world, slash all these superheroes that, you know, frankly, Superman was pretty cool with what he was able to do. But now you're getting to a degree where some of the superheroes have completely unrealistic powers, Gorf. I mean, come on.
Superheroes are a very small portion of
really?
The graphic novel industry these days. Scholastic, in fact, commands something like 40 or 50%. And the traditional superhero comics companies, DC, Marvel, I think they're around 25 or 30%.
Who does Scholastic have that I would have heard of? Anybody that I would have heard of?
Tons. I can't think of anything
Seriously.
Off the top of my head right now.
And kids today are into it?
Well,
it,
Scholastic, for example, is Raina Telgemeier, who does Smile and a lot of books aimed at the young adult audience, which is extraordinarily popular. And the comics range from adventure comics like what you're talking about to biography to history to adaptations of science to
my mother would have liked those
fantasy to slice of life, every possible genre, humor, suspense, mystery, drama. It's all out there, and it's all out there for many ages. And part of the reason is that when comics were popular before the advent, really popular as a medium, before the advent of video games and so forth. Because after all, nowadays, why would you want to read a comic book when you can get light and you can get sound right on your phone that you carry in your pocket?
Right.
the interesting thing there is comics are still popular. They've just migrated to digital media because the simple, basic, populist version of storytelling that comics is, it's basically a storyboard where you stop and you just print the storyboard or you publicize or upload the storyboard instead of turning it into a movie or a television show or video game or all that. Anyway, so nowadays when you have all those other media to choose from, it's very interesting to see all the different avenues that comics and graphic novels and cartooning have filled, all the little holes that are available in storytelling that they have filled. And there are so many now, movies and comic books, what am I saying, movies and television shows and graphic novels, that you wouldn't realize are actually based, their source material are these comics and cartoons.
Interesting. And is the Koren Tanakh graphic novel Yona available digitally or enhanced in any way? It is enhanced online?
Yes. Enhanced online, no. It's in
the product's online.
The product's online, yes.
Right, but would that, based on what you just said, would that be something where someone like yourself or someone else in the industry would take a novel like this, and we'll talk more about it in a minute, and digitally enhance it or put action to it or movement to it? Would that ever happen?
You could. People have tried that before with things called motion comics, where they take the comics and they try to give them movement. And what you find is they're not comics anymore. They become animation, or they become this hybrid animation that's neither fish nor fowl, and none of that has really taken off.
Interesting.
Ultimately, comics are just the combination of words and pictures in the most basic communication form, which is what I was getting to before.
Right.
People still vibe, as the kids would say, people still vibe to the hieroglyphics of it all. Right. And overseas, you had manga comics, which is just basically Japanese comics, in a society that has words and pictures combined into their spoken and written language. And those have become much more popular, as manga comics have, as it's migrated to the West. So I think that whereas comics, unfortunately, still are misunderstood as a kiddie medium, overseas, they are as popular between men and women, 50-50. They're as popular within all age groups and backgrounds as a bona fide reading material experience.
Was the juicy, is that what we're calling it, juicy?
Some people call it juice, some people call it juicy. We haven't really figured it
out
yet.
Was the juicy event 50-50, or many more men and many more young people?
No. Yeah, I think you're right. To my eye, it was a really wonderful mix. It really was a cross-section.
Even in our community,
people. Yeah. Well, it's the broader Jewish
community.
Right,
I understand, but I call that our community.
Yeah.
And your weekly comic strip cartoon is now called what? What's the...
At Jewish Cartoon.
That's it.
At Jewish Cartoon.
But does it have a title on top of it when
that's
it runs?
That's the title. Because these days, everything's about social media. So there you go, folks. You want
and
to follow
the,
me regularly.
And the best
right
one
there.
You ever had. You know the best one you ever had.
I know. And in fact, I'm in your new offices right now, or studio, rather, and I'm looking at the wall space to figure out, okay, I have to give you a new printout of that camp cartoon.
Because obviously we lost it in the fire.
Yeah.
But that was, and what you did for me was you blew it up, and it was one of the most amazing and incredible cartoons you ever wrote, frankly, because the gentleman is saying to his friend on Alumni Day at summer camp, right? It's basically saying at Alumni Day.
Spoiler alert.
Right, exactly, right. All of the amazing things that they learned in camp and how it enhanced. Again, you know, you do this in four squares. What do we call those squares?
Panels.
Four panels. But he's talking about how amazing it was and how, you know, how quote unquote Jewish it was. And then he asks him, you know, why aren't your children here? And he says, well, it's not Jewish enough for them, that type of thing. Anyway, I'm ruining it, I know. And when you do bring it here, I will read it word for word so people get it even more. But it is, in my opinion, your absolute grand slam. Gorf has doubles, triples, home runs, and then he has the ultimate grand slam home run. And that, my friend, was one of your grand slam home runs.
Thank you.
There you go.
And we're talking about At Jewish Cartoon, the weekly comic strip that's featured in the Jewish Link, whose offices are just a stone's throw from where we are right now.
And you've incorporated a lot of the last year into that strip, right? A lot of what the Israelis are and our brothers and sisters are going through into that comic.
Yes. The challenge that I face with any of these epic, I don't want to say tragedies, but epic moments in Judaism. Let's encapsulate it that way. We all know the subtext there.
Yep.
We're all living the subtext. And the challenge is to reflect it, but in a way that still gives us hope and uplift. And I'm constantly thinking, okay, there are plenty of people out there who will give us the negative or give us the unfortunate emotions that we are all consuming on a regular basis. And I'm trying to find a way to show that there is something, God willing, that will come from this. We can't understand the reason, but we can understand how we can live our lives in a way where we can do what Jews have always done.
And is that across the board? Or even you have exceptions? For instance, on the first anniversary, would you print something like, you know, like a one panel memorial type thing, or one panel, you know, acknowledgement of, you know, the last year all in one shot? Or you would not even go in that direction? You try to be on the positivity angle each and every time?
There have been a few times, probably over the course of 27, 28 years that I've been doing the weekly feature, that I've gone in that direction. But bottom line, my responsibility is to entertain. Wow. As well as to educate.
Well, to a degree, inform, right?
Yeah, I would say inform. Right. That's better. Educate sounds very pedantic. And again, I try to keep this in the entertainment mode, not in the pedantic mode.
Right, so you're informing and hoping that people react in the appropriate fashion.
Yeah, my intention is, and to answer your question directly, I still try to come up with a twist at the end.
Right.
Sometimes it's a dad pun. Sometimes it's a rabbi pun. Sometimes I really succeed and have a dad rabbi pun. That, to me, is the ultimate in Jewish humor.
So when your kids say, Dad, you relied on a traditional dad joke, which, of course, I always take offense to, you do not take offense to that.
No. For me, it's a badge of honor.
Really? You got to come visit my house and tell my kids.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you received the children's charter when you first gave birth to your wonderful children.
Well, actually, my wife gave birth to them, but yeah.
And it
can be confusing these days. I want to make sure I put that out there. Yeah.
I expect it was a team effort.
Yes.
It takes a village. It takes a shtetl. And I'm sure you received the children's charter that said, very simply, your job, first and foremost, is to humiliate your children publicly.
And I've done, look at me with thousands of listeners. I've done a remarkable job.
Right. Look at me with dozens of readers.
Gorf is here. Jordan B. Gorfinkel. Now, why are you here? You're here because about 6 weeks ago, when I received the current Tanakh graphic novel of the book of Yonah, the book of Jonah, I said to you in a text, we got to get you on the air. And it didn't work out before Yom Kippur. Obviously, that would be the most appropriate time. That's why it was released at that time. But obviously, we wanted to pay tribute. And now that you're here in this area, we had a chance to spend a few minutes talking about it. First of all, and you know, we work with a lot of great publishers. But my gosh, the leeway and the creativity that Koren allows you to have must be an amazing feeling.
I wouldn't say leeway, I would say partnership.
Wow. Because, I mean, talk about a graphic novel, and I say this in the most positive
of
ways.
He's showing it to me as if I've never
seen
it before.
No, but I'm saying this in the most positive ways. It is graphic, meaning there's always a hesitation, I don't have to tell you, there's always a hesitation when representing historical figures in our tradition. There's always a hesitation to don't go too far, don't paint him or her in this manner, do it in a much more subdued or a much more, you know, I don't have to tell you this, in a much more even type of presentation. You go, I don't want to say to an extreme because it's not in any way negative, but you give us an unbelievable taste of the story of Yonah through some incredible pages of cartoon art. What do you call it? What do we call this?
Graphic novel art.
Graphic novel art?
Yeah, but it's more than art. It's the fusion of the actual original text from Tanakh, from the Bible,
right,
with the graphic novel illustrations that pair on one side of the folio. Folio is a two-page spread. Right. One side of the folio, the original Hebrew, so that you can actually use this series, the Koren Tanakh graphic novel series, for occasions where you need one, like we have Megillat Esther out, we have Megillat Yonah, and you'll see people in Shul
Haggadah
using it. Right, the Passover Haggadah graphic novel was the very first one. You see people actually using it, so it has that utilitarian purpose. But it also has, on the other facing page, the Koren Tanakh, the actual one, the actual translation,
right,
fused with the illustrations to give you both pshat and midrash.
Right.
So on a surface level, if you're younger, for example, you will understand what the words mean by seeing it in the context of these illustrations that authentically and authoritatively bring the They're not characters. Bring the people and right. the situations back to life. And at the same time, there is midrash, meaning there are deeper meanings. So if you're a little bit older, you can look at the words and pictures together and understand, oh, look at that. That is what Rashi said over here. Look at that. They've obviously read the Gemara. Look at that. They've obviously looked at the archaeology, and they know the typography. They know the typography too. They have studied every possible discipline and worked with the amazing team at Koren.
So there's some scholars there at Koren, huh?
Just a few. In order to truly understand as many dimensions as possible, and then bring the dimensions back to life through the four-color medium of graphic novels.
Information at korenpub.com, korenpub.com, jewishcartoon.com will give you a perspective on our guest, Jordan B. Gorfinkel. Now, with that in mind, what you just said, I don't know how many hours it took for you to decide what Yonah should look like. You know, a rabbinic figure, prophet, someone who's obviously very nervous about the circumstances, right, from a lot of different angles, both who he's hanging around with or what, you know, circumstance he got tossed into, and then, of course, you know, God making certain demands of him. That could be a frightening experience, and all that has to be reflected in the way he looks. Am I right?
Yes. In fact, part of it. On Yonah, the graphic novel, we had a wonderful writer named David Sachs, who's an Emmy award-winning writer for The Simpsons, and he's worked on many other TV shows and
wow.
so forth. So I had a collaboration.
Does he know the story?
Now he does. Dope.
He learned Yonah for this? Seriously?
Well, yeah. He's a firm Jewish guy who wow. lives in the Los Angeles area.
Pretty cool.
Wonderful, brilliant, and this was because we are now embarking on the entire Tanakh as a version of the graphic novel.
Is there a specific supporter of that, or it's a general project?
Well, it's a Koren project. So Koren has literally said, wow. okay, Esther was our pilot, Yonah is the next one, and presently we are embarking on Breishit and Shmuel Aleph, and we're just going to keep moving from those two inception points forward.
What do you have, 26 hours in a day?
God willing.
It's not easy.
And but it's the work, isn't it of, funny it's the work we, of a lifetime.
Isn't it funny as we get older how the projects get bigger?
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing.
Well, the projects, we get bigger, the projects get bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and they take, obviously, months and in some cases years to actually produce.
Yes, but that's the whole point, which is I knew that I would not be able to handle all of it on my own, so I needed to bring in a team, as we said before, a shtetl.
Yeah.
And David Sachs brought with him his own background in television and animation. And I found that as a producer working with him, a co-creator, one of the challenges I had was that he was thinking in terms of movement. I have music. I have
right.
dialogue. So we had in the script places where David would call out, Yonah is thinking deeply or he's davening penitently. Well, how do you show that? If you have words, excuse me, if you have movement and you have music and you have dialogue and all the special effects and you have all the tools of a moving medium, then you can portray that internal emotion
sure.
very easily. But in a graphic novel, everything must be external.
That's
you have
why
to show
I say,
action.
Just to decide what Yonah should look like must
right.
have been.
And the answer is it's hours and hours
yeah,
and hours
of
and Zoom conferences and discussions and rewriting.
How'd that show do, by the way, to Simpsons? Did it have some success?
Yes.
So Sachs was the...
Thank God.
Was one of the fathers of a successful... who was it that used to be one of our... He still might be. One of our biggest supporters at WFMU, Matt Groening is his name?
Yes.
Also worked with them, right, on The Simpsons? Or
he created The Simpsons.
Simpsons,
yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know Matt Groening had a WFMU connection.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I don't know.
He was just into independent radio?
He was a fan and was a significant supporter every year and still might be, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Matt Groening, we've got the Koren Tanakh graphic novel. Hey, you know.
Let's make it into a... motion picture?
Well, let's David Sachs just pitched me another idea, a really good idea for another graphic novel. Yeah, another Jewish graphic novel. And let's see if he can go to Matt Groening and, you know.
Never know.
Tee it up.
I would hope that Matt, with all his support over the years, heard of JM and the AM. I hope he knows that there's, you know.
He asked you were the anchor.
I would hope that he knows there's a Jewish angle to all these different media that are out there. Anyway, last things. We're running out of time here, but I have to say the...
I'm looking for a way to work in the pun. He leveled up Salah College. Leveled
oh boy.
Up. Yeah. Okay.
You know, Uppsala closed in 1992.
I know. But it lives large in my memory. That's how far we go back, folks.
So
it's two old cranky entertainment guys entertaining you.
So it's one thing to have to sit on Zoom or in person and figure out what Yona should look like. But there's another part of this story that I think is even more of a challenge to decide what it looks like. And I'm referring, of course, to the fish that swallows Yona. Because I, as a kid, had a certain impression. Then you get older and, you know, whales, which traditionally is, you know, we don't know what a big fish is in Yona, but we, you know, many people think it may have been a whale. And whales have this, I don't know, even though they're large and scary, they have this friendly disposition, or at least that's the perception. So as an adult, your idea of what that big fish might be changes, I believe. And then you, Gorf, has to sit and now come up, I don't know, take what the youth would think, take what the older people would think, and create a fish. And this is what you come up with. And I found it very interesting. Could you, and I know that we're not showing this anywhere, but and I'm not going to start to try to describe it, but give me a couple of elements. You said to yourself, this fish has to have what in its still cartoon, digital, graphic novel art? It has to have what?
The easiest answer is a visual one. If you pick up the Yona graphic novel, right now, Nahum, you can do this. Turn to the back and you can see all of the various designs that we considered. And you can see how we tried to find...
This is real.
Yes.
These are all the options you went through.
These are all the options that we went through with some wonderful illustrators. The designs were done by Larissa Kerzner, an Israeli animator. This is her first graphic novel. And our pipeline director, animation director... Avi Blyer.
You're literally answering my questions about what you thought of how the fish should look and what you thought how Yona should look with two pages of what we normally don't have anymore, which is the notes that
behind the scenes. Right.
And why don't we have it? Because if someone's today, you know, typing something on their computer, they're just going to correct it and we'll never see what they crossed out, you know, in a draft. And we'll never have that anymore.
Well, our wonderful editorial design director, manager, Tzipora Ginsberg, herself a Teaneck native as well, Poker Tov Tzipora, TZ, she is very keen on saving every iteration of every project because you never know when you're going to have to dig into the archive and do some research or even revive something that perhaps has a different purpose.
I once read an article about that's one of the worst things about the years ago, 25 years ago, I read this. One of the worst advents of computers and word processing programs is that we don't have the notes of the author anymore, what they crossed out, what their original intention was, what they ended up with, et cetera.
Right.
So this is great.
Right. Although you do in a sort of way. If you're using Google Docs, for example, you can go back to previous versions.
Right.
So there are ways. But for us, archiving is a very important part of the project. But the most important point to make over here is that I try, and this is bringing things full circle back to your original question, which I'm not sure I answered, but everything you say, Nahum, is a gold nugget to me, so I hang on to it, make sure to reflect it. And gold is reflective, so that's good. You asked, are there enhancements that we make?
Right.
And the answer is no, for a very simple reason. And it's not just because it's not that we're not interested in animation. We're actually planning on doing adaptations of these Jewish graphic novels, Tanakh graphic novels in various different forms. But for the time being, our major purpose is to be able to provide you with a text that has text and subtext, as we talked about before, that can be standing on its own. And the reason for that is if we give explanation, then we're taking away you, the reader's ability to be able to come to conclusions on your own.
Wow.
And we want to be Solomonic about this.
You're giving us a lot of credit.
And I've had this question before, and people have said, where's the teacher's guide?
Right.
And again, not pedantic, folks. This is not something, I mean, it is something that is used in schools, and certainly it's a wonderful tool for classical education. Most important for us is that many people are not, as much as wonderful as the Jewish education system is, there's so many more Jews that we are losing because we are not able to reach them for one reason or another. And here is a way that we don't have to bring them into an institution. We don't have to bring them to a place. They can take this into their homes and they can learn from it by experiencing the adventure themselves. So if we spoon feed it, then we're losing that. And people come up to me all the time and say, hey, did you intend this? And I always smile and I don't answer. Sometimes I did intend it, but sometimes they're teaching me.
I apologize that we have a hard stop today, as we say in the industry. Thank you, Jordan B. Gorfinkel. Good luck. It's the Koren Tanakh graphic novel, Sefer Yonah. Check it out by going to the website, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. And you can go to jewishcartoon.com, learn more about Gorf and his incredible work, both with these projects and with everything else he does. A pleasure to see you, my friend.
Thank you. And most important, follow me on Instagram and also Facebook and TikTok at Jewish Cartoon. Everything I do is at Jewish Cartoon. Nachum, Besorot Tovot.
Amen. And thank you, sir, again, at Jewish Cartoon for Gorf. Achinu b'Yisrael Nachum Achem. Our brothers and sisters in Israel, we are with you. It's your favorite America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, web at NachumSiegel.com and the Nachum Siegel Network, and, of course, on the beloved NSN app.